regardless of all of that kind of stuff, you know, the church had influence in the city. They definitely had done a lot of work with, you know, gospel work. They had had an influence with a lot of people in a very, very dark and sad area. And it really made me very contemplative about our church and about churches in general, and being a preacher's kid and seeing definitely from the inside, being, you know, seeing your family and some of the things that you get hit with as a preacher's kid that a lot of people don't really see elsewhere in the church. My dad's gone through the ringer at some of the churches that he's been at, unfortunately, as well. And so, you know, it's just a burden for the church, not any, you know, hey, let's announce the doomsday, you know, or whatever, but just like thinking about our church and just being on guard. And the Lord led me to this psalm, which I think speaks directly to this. So let's go ahead and read through it, and then we'll, believe it or not, Mr. Todd will be shocked, but we're going to cover a whole entire psalm in one Sunday. So, all right. So Psalm 122. I was glad, a song of ascent, says David. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem that has been built as a city that is firmly joined together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones were set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. So we see at the very outset, the song, it is a song of ascent of David. Psalm 120 through 134 are the songs of ascent. And this is the third of those, of course. These songs were sung as Israel ascended the hill to Jerusalem for their three annual feasts. So this is not, I know we often talk about, you know, this is the song book of the Bible. Probably don't envision exactly what people are doing when they're singing these songs. Maybe just thinking of a large choir and they're part of a larger service or a larger gathering. But here we actually have the function that they're doing. They're going, they're ascending a hill to go into the city of Jerusalem that sits upon a hill. And these are songs that they would have sung. Verse one says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. The word glad there is a Hebrew word that means rejoice or be thankful. Actually came to mind just a second ago when Mr. Tom was praying. He said, let us remember and be glad in your word and let us rejoice in it. That is exactly what this word means, glad, rejoicing, and thankful. notice also that the verse ends with, let us go to the house of the Lord. The Lord, the word is translated here, is actually commonly translated in the Old Testament as Jehovah. This is the proper name of God, and it's how God called himself when he was talking to Moses in Exodus 6. Exodus 6, 1 through 3 says, then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For under compulsion he will let the people go, and under his compulsion he will drive them out of his land. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord, or Jehovah. And I appear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, or Jehovah, I did not make myself known to them. So God is revealing a new part of his character to Moses and to the people of Israel. This reminded me of a common question I get when I first meet people, being a Joshua. My theory is that most people don't want to say three syllables if they can get by without it. So they'll say, do you prefer Josh or Joshua? And I used to say, oh, I like Joshua, but, you know, that was normally just a mess with them. So anyway, but now call me Josh or Joshua, either one. But the Lord does give us a clue into the a new understanding of his nature by calling himself Jehovah. It's the name God uses to make himself known to Moses and Israel, and it is personal and just for them among all the people of the earth. There was no one else on earth calling the Lord Jehovah, especially at that time. So David and all of Israel, in verse 1, on their ascent, they are singing, I was rejoicing and thankful when they said to me, let us go to the house of our great Jehovah. Verse 2 says, our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. This, you might remember from a previous devotion, we started kind of at the end of a section, but we'll start at the end of this verse. It says, O Jerusalem, feet are standing at the standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is actually comprised of two words, which really surprised me how those words are translated. There is Yara, which we say Jerusalem. They would typically say Yerusalem, Yara being the first part, and that means stunned or shocked. I was like, stunning that that's actually what the beginning of Jerusalem means. Shalom, which means complete or sound or safe. So if you put those together, you get stunned by the complete safety and soundness. So it's sound reassuring and it's peaceful. So Jerusalem itself means peace or the foundation of peace. So these people are stunned by the foundation of peace, stunned by the safety and the security that they find in this place. Notice also in verse 2, it says within your gates. So we have a city on a hill, which strategically or defensively would be the optimal place to be, separated, looking down on anyone who would come at you. It's by its very name described as not only a city of peace, but even the words that make up the comprise its name is its sound reassuring and it's peaceful. And now it has gates that completely surround it. Later on in this chapter, we'll see that they're described as walls. So there are gates further securing this place of safety and peace. Notice also it says our feet are standing. So Israel has already ascended and they've arrived. And they are standing within the secure gates of the house of Jehovah in the city of peace. Verse 3, Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together. Hebrew word there for compact is united or allied. Sometimes I like when I'm doing devotion preparation, especially just to look at Young's literal translation, which is the most literal Bible translation, sometimes almost to like you kind of have to piece together what's even being said. It's so literal. But here, the way that this is worded, just to carry forth this idea of allied and unified, it's translated there as joined to itself together. We often talk, especially in our devotions, about repetition in Scripture. So it's joined to what? Normally think of joining to something else. It's joined to itself. So that already sounds like a whole lot of bonding together. And that's how Young translates that. So literally, there's a whole lot of bonding, unity, alliance going on here. It is an established peace that is, in the established peace, it is maintainable when there is unity. So in Jerusalem, the city of peace, it's already established that there is peace, but it's also, continued and continues being joined indefinitely on itself. So peace rule of Jerusalem is allied in unity together, be one way of understanding that as well. Verse 4 says, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. So these tribes of Israel go to peaceful, secure Jerusalem, but how and why are they bonded in unity? Well, they're bonded by an ordinance. That ordinance says to give thanks to the name of the Lord. They're allied in unity of thanking the Lord as one. Notice that the tribes go up, but it's an ordinance for all of Israel. So the tribes go up, which are named as the 12 different tribes of Israel. But the ordinance isn't for specific tribes, or it doesn't say the ordinance is for the tribes. It says the ordinance is for Israel. So it is for them combined as one unified group. Verse 5 says, for their thrones were set for judgment, thrones of the house of David. Righteous men love righteous judgment. And that's what the city of peace had to offer. They settled civil matters or anything else that could not be settled by the tribes. So even in this city of peace, even in this place of unity and alliance, even where there is this joined to itself togetherness, even if a dispute arises in those kind of situations, they still have a process to adjudicate it. And it happens in a place of unity and peace and thankfulness. So no matter what the conflict, no matter what the trouble could possibly be, they still have a means to deal with that. Verses 6 through 9 close with a prayer. I'll read those all together here. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. So again, repetition, repetition, repetition. We see peace used there three times. And look at the very beginning of verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. What do we just say Jerusalem is? Literally translated, it is peace, or the foundation of peace. So pray for the peace of the foundation of peace. A lot of peace in these verses. May there be prosperity to those who love the foundation of peace. The word prosperity there is shalvah, Hebrew word that means ease or quietness or tranquility. Probably not the things we always associate with prosperity, because we're used to things like, typically if you hear prosperity these days, especially as a churchgoer, you're probably going to think of the prosperity gospel, which isn't a gospel, of course, at all. It's just a means of getting rich and having an easy life. Well, this is talking about prosperity, yes, in an easy, tranquil, wonderful life. It's not talking about it because you're just rich or because you don't ever have to worry about monetary means or your health. So may there be quiet and ease to those who love Jerusalem. If you look in verse 7, it says, may there be peace within its fortifying walls. I mentioned that briefly earlier. That's the gates of verse 3. May there be prosperity within your palaces. Again, prosperity equals ease and rest. So why do they pray this? Well, verses 8 and 9 tell us. It says, for the sake. They're praying this for the sake of my brothers and my friends. Again, he asks for peace for Jerusalem, but he also recognizes his role. He says, for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. So David is taking on an active role there. Something that came to mind when you see, for the sake of my brothers and friends, for the sake of the house of God and for the name of God, what are the two commandments that Jesus gave us? Mark 12, 28 through 31, Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So this is David writing this. And not only that, this is David and Israel singing these very things. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, and for the sake of my brothers and sisters. So these are the two commandments of Jesus here in the Old Testament. We have Jerusalem equaling peace. We have Jesus being the Prince of Peace. As you've probably heard many a sermon preached about this, so I have very much so at different points in my life. Jesus is the Prince of Jerusalem, the Prince of Peace. He is the embodiment of for the sake of the house of God, for my brothers and sisters. But also there is another correlation, which was one that I think is why the Lord really brought a lot of this to mind, and that is his bride, the church, is also a place of peace, especially when it's functioning, unlike the church that I mentioned at the very beginning of this devotion. It is a refuge allied and unified for the sake of brothers and sisters and for the sake of the Lord our God. So just in a way, as a way of closing, I kind of rewrote this psalm as it just kept recurring to me that the Lord was really, I believe the reason the Lord was showing it to me, just the way that it applies to our church, for being vigilant about protecting her and being peaceful amongst brothers and sisters, making the Prince of Peace our centerpiece, not what color the carpet is or why we have weird diamonds on the wall over here and a red stripe around the wall over here. You know, how in the world did those two ever go together? But anyway, so my rewriting of my own prayer, my own psalm of Psalm 122 would be this. I was rejoicing and thankful when Lauren said to me, let us go to the house of Jehovah, meeting at GBF. Our feet are standing within your gates, O GBF, a place of peace that is built as a city that is allied in unity, to which the tribes of the Brewers and the Leges and the Lacours and the Hatchers and all the rest of the tribes of the Lord go up every week. An ordinance for all of GBF to give thanks to the name of the Lord, for from and through GBF God disperses righteous judgment from his eternal throne. Pray for the peace of GBF. May they prosper who love GBF. May peace be within the walls of GBF and ease and quiet within its people. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be with you, GBF. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek GBF's good.
Amen.
And I think that is, I've mentioned it before and I just really can't tell you how much it means to me to have a church that, you know, people are on different specific points of, you know, or opinions about a lot of things, even scripturally based, but there is so little divisiveness in this church. And then coming from a place that was very liberal, not quite 7% like Seattle, but not a whole lot more than that, Chapel Hill, and struggling to find a church. I'm really thankful for GBF. I'm really thankful for our church that we have here. I think also, because even though I covered a whole entire psalm, I did it in a shorter amount of time than I typically do. So we have a little bit of extra time that we can pray. And I would really encourage you, whether you pray out loud or you pray, you know, in your heart, just calling out to the Lord silently. Let's really lift up our church this morning. You know, it's easy to say, you know, we're at the beginning of a year, let's make some big commitments and let's be, you know, renew our devotions and stuff. But we can really do that anytime. And I think that today is as good a day as any other. Our church is somewhat at a, you know, it's been an interesting last couple of years. We still have, you know, obviously Zoom is still with us. We have part of our church body that doesn't meet here in person. And some of them I haven't even seen in almost 2 years, which Lauren and I were talking about the other day. As crazy as that is, you know, think about people that have met with us every week that I haven't spoken to in 2 years, but still are a part of our body. They're no less a part of this church, whether they're here in person or not. As the Lord leads them to, you know, maybe take some different precautions and the people who do meet here. Our church also, you know, we've been meeting in this place, you know, there might be some different opinions about whether we stay, whether we go, how we go, where we go, all those kind of things. But again, the recurring word throughout this psalm is peace. And as long as we do it peaceably for the Lord's good, for the sake of the brothers, we have a really sure and strong foundation that matters for all of eternity, not just where we meet, whether we look at diamonds and red stripes. So anyway, I love y'all. I look forward to praying with you. So just pray as you feel led, and I'll ask John to close whenever everyone's had time to pray. Lord, I do thank you so much for the awesome opportunity to attend Grace Bible Fellowship, Lord. Lord, we can think about all of the many benefits, and we rightfully should, come to you with a heart of thankfulness. But Lord, we also should do as verse 9 says, we should say, I will seek for its good, Lord. Not because we should praise or adore a group of people or just some gathering, or even just saying we really love our church, as good as that sounds, Lord, but because ultimately we care about it in the terms of eternity and in the terms of extending your glory and your name, in terms of strengthening and encouraging the brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we have not gone the way of churches that have put lots of people in seats and lots of dollars in the bank, maybe even had good ministries for a time, but then have fizzled or come to nothing because of poor leadership or infighting or anything like that, Lord, but that we have a sure foundation in the peace that we all commonly share in Christ and that we can commonly share with brothers and sisters every week. Thank you for the power of your word that all these millennia later, Lord, that it still speaks to our hearts, still speaks to our sins, it still speaks to our redemption, still speaks to the hope that we have of eternity with you that we're already enjoying the benefits of, Lord. We lift up this service to you, Lord. We pray for those who cannot be with us in person today, whether it's because they are currently ill or because they're just trying to be prudent and wise with their health, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much that they're a part of our fellowship, whether they're here in person or not, Lord, that your spirit can minister to them, even through this technology that allows them to join us remotely, Lord. We do lift up, though, all the many people who are sick amongst our congregation right now. Think of Aunt Bonnie, and I think of the grooms, Lord. Pray that you would just touch each of them, Lord. We are so thankful that at least this most recent variant is not, the effects are not typically nearly as bad, Lord, but we do pray that you would put encouragement in their hearts, that even in the difficult circumstances, that you would put praise on their lips, Lord, and thankfulness would be their focus, Lord, and that you would bring healing to them and that they would be able to rejoin us in the very near future, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much for the powerful ministry of what you do through every man, woman, and child in this church, Lord, for the ministry that they have been to me. And Lord, I thank you for the awesome opportunity, but also responsibility in sharing your word in these devotions, Lord.
Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you, Father, for great Savior that you have provided for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Our propitiation, our mediator, our treasure. And we thank you, Father, that you've given us this slice of time to be able to in this body to worship you and to present it as a living and holy sacrifice. We thank you, Father, for this little lampstand that we call Grace Bible Fellowship. We ask, Father, that you would use us in 2022 to be a greater light than what we were in 2021. That's like in the churches of the book of Revelation. They had their good and bad points. And at the same time, Father, they were encouraged to overcome. We ask, Father, that you would cause us to be overcomers even this year, and that our deeds of late would be greater than at first. And that, Father, you would help us in our overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil, Lord, that you would make us to be more than conquerors. As we place our feet firmly in this grace in which we stand that you have provided, and Father, we take great confidence in this unconquerable love that you have for us. We love you and we thank you and we bless you for some Christ.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We come to you thankful that we can meet you, Lord, or that you have led us and guided us forward to this place where we want to see more of your glory, where our hearts are pointed and pulled towards you, not in a million different directions, Lord, maybe with different understanding of different truths in your word, Lord, but with the same love for the same God, same gospel, and the good news, Lord. We thank you that that is your work. You have done that. Thank you for all your grace and your kindness to us, Father, even at this moment, Lord. Lord, there are many needs, Father, and lots of needs for sickness, Lord. We pray for those who are sick in our group, Lord, and those that have been requesting prayer throughout the week, Lord, for this, that you would show yourself mighty, Lord, in big and small ways. Lord, meet them where they're at, encourage their hearts, protect their bodies, Lord, make them aware that it's you doing that, that they may glorify you, Father. Lord, be with us this morning. Thank you so much for putting these people together, Lord, in this congregation, Lord, that you have, Lord, set apart as your people and treasure as your bride, Father. Lord, we ask that you would lead and guide us this morning, Father, that you would own this time, Father, that you would call to mind how worthy you are of praise, Father, that we would praise you freely, worship you, and magnify the Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name.